Till Dandra's like, I hope there's Kleenex up there. Otherwise, you got to run and get some for me. So, okay. I'm going to read this because if I try to just speak, I'll just ramble. So I could ramble on for quite a while about all of the things that I can look back on in my nearly 34 years of life, seeing God's hand in so many ways. So I've tried to be relatively brief in sharing it with all of you. When I was a young child, I thought that I knew God because I had a good life. I have an amazing, caring, and generous mother and father, and I had a very happy, peaceful childhood. I can remember talking to God all of the time and praying faithfully. I also really loved going to church, but the church we attended did not necessarily encourage studying the Bible or clearly spell out what salvation was. So I didn't understand that we all have a sin nature that will always catch up with us no matter how good we try to be, and thereby we need a Savior because we are inescapably human. We cannot transcend this sin alone to be in the presence of a holy God. As I grew up, I was very involved with youth group in middle school and into high school. I thought I had felt the Holy Spirit many times, but I didn't know God. I didn't know him like he knew me. One of my favorite Psalms is 139, and the truth that God knows me so well. He saw my unformed substance, and he had written in his book all of my days before there was even a single one. In 2001, I was a freshman in high school, and my sister and I headed to school the morning of 9/11, knowing that some crazy person had crashed a plane into a tall building. I thought that was sad, and by the time I got to school and every teacher had the television on streaming live footage of another plane hitting a building, a fear and a darkness began to well up in me. I remember going home that day and flipping through the pages of my Bible, searching desperately for answers from a God that I didn't truly know. Why would you let such terrible things happen to those people, Lord? I asked. I didn't find any answers because I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't know that in our fallen world, bad things happen, and it isn't because of God, but because of our own sin nature. I was sad and scared and angry and 14 years old. From that time forward, that dark feeling grew larger in me and clouded my vision. As I moved through high school, my faith in a loving God dwindled, even as I increased my involvement at church and youth group. By the time I was a senior, I was so ready to escape to college and adulthood. I went across the United States to Pennsylvania for school. That was a really bad idea for me because, as I mentioned, I had a great support system at home, and I was suddenly totally alone. There are also many people in my family tree that had suffered from depression, but truly depression is the human condition of hopelessness when you are living without God. So that school year became a spiraling downward for me. I came back to Colorado the next year and enrolled at UNC in Greeley, completely thrown off of my original dreams of a career and sort of aimless in my studies. My good grades and focus on achievement had always been a sense of pride for me. I lived by myself that year in a new town with hardly any friends, in a new school far away from family. I had suicidal ideations and I cried myself to sleep a lot. I would say that was one of the lowest points in my life, and I was very scared. So lost and seemingly alone, I randomly chose a major in anthropology, which is the study of humans and culture. I took courses in the evolution of man, sociology, and world religions. Nearly everything I studied was an attempt to explain humanness and the human condition. The nature of that degree took me down a path toward full-blown agnosticism, meaning I thought, well, there's probably a God, but I wasn't completely denying that there was some higher thing. So I was also at this point I really started hating Christians. I remember a Christian in one of my world religion classes presented on the symbology of the ichthus, and she was so bold in including a bit of the gospel in her presentation to our secular class, and I was so annoyed. I was one of those people who said Christianity was obviously an easy cop-out for life because you pinned everything on this imaginary giant in the clouds and you got to walk around thinking you were better than everyone else. But as I now know, tribulation and persecution is a guarantee as a follower of Christ. as is the full knowledge of the wretchedness of myself without Christ. As Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? So it was about this time in college that God brought two people back into my life in a big way. I moved in with a friend from high school who was a strong Christian, and I adored her. I just ignored her religiosity. She invited me to things like Campus Crusade, and I, of course, rejected it. But I know that God used her to soften my heart towards Christians in general, because the second person that came into my life was Andrew, my sweet, sweet husband. I had loved him since I first met him freshman year of high school. I knew he was from a strong Christian family, obviously. But I didn't care. I wanted to have him in my life, and I knew that I could change him to my way of thinking. When we decided to date, he was so kind, and he took my criticism of his faith with such stride. He has since told me that he prayed so hard for my salvation and forgot to open my eyes because he had known me when I was younger, and he knew that God desires that not one should be lost. So as we became more serious, we began to discuss the future, and both felt like we had found the one, whatever that means. So, he is my one, though. So we had serious matters to discuss. I agreed to hear about his Bible, and I figured that I would get him to agree that there was just some synchronistic spirit God that was sort of made up of all the loving deeds people did for each other that resided in our hearts because we're all, as humans, basically good. But his God was one of so much love that I didn't even understand. We would sit and study the Bible, and it infuriated me that he knew so much and I couldn't intellectualize him away from this supposed truth. I now know that the Holy Spirit pointed him to the right scriptures to bat down all of my objections. I love to tell the story that I flat out told Andrew one day that if we ever had children, we would raise them gender neutral and that we could take them to church for morals training, but that I would never believe what he believed because it was crazy. And to the world, what we believe is crazy, but it's true. God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those with understanding, according to Daniel 2:21. So when did I finally understand who this God was, that as a child I thought I knew and as a young adult I had come to hate? Andrew and I had been dating and talking about the Bible, and he was planting seeds for the Lord, and I was rejecting them at every turn, or so I thought. I only wanted Andrew to be in my life, not this God that was so restrictive and judgy. I had gone home on a weekend, and I was lying in my childhood bed, surrounded by all of the things that made me feel safe and loved. But I was being suffocated with a bout of darkness and depression that had so plagued me throughout my adolescence and young adulthood, and I was just overcome, sobbing, and felt myself spiraling downward, thinking thoughts like, what does any of this mean? What do all of my good memories and friendships and family relationships mean when it's all over, if I am just dust, nothing? Why do we even exist, and how is my existence just the blink of an eye, but so full of love and life and meaning, but only to me? And I saw a beautiful piercing light, not physically in the room with me, but in my mind's eye. And it was as if all of those questions and worries and fears and hopelessness fell away, as if God said, I've been waiting for this, for you to be able to understand this. And I thought something to the effect of, duh, you dummy, this life only means something if there's something bigger and better and more amazing than this life, so full of pain. And that is God. It may seem silly, but as a child, when I would pray, I would envision a bright light that would hold my focus. And I know that God had planted that visualization in my innocent, trusting, accepting child brain to use later for this epiphany. It was like a laser beam hit me between the eyes and opened them. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Daniel 2:22. I love being able to share that foundational moment of my faith with others, but in the years since, God has shown me so much more of himself through his word. And if I can interject a plug here, I would encourage an intensive study of the Bible for anyone. It is immeasurably important in your walk as a Christian. I know that as I have grown, I keep thinking, ooh, aha, I know what I'm talking about. And I think I've got all the pieces. But God just keeps revealing things to me about himself and his word and the precious gift of salvation through his son that I'm so hungry to continue to study the Bible in depth, and I pray I do not lose that intense desire to spend time in the word. So Andrew and I became engaged and started making our plans for our life together. We have been married for a little over 9 years, and I can tell you that those 9 years have not looked how I thought they would. In marking time as it passes with my husband, we have been through ups and downs and highs and lows, each one teaching me more of God's grace and mercy. From our sweet Ruby having open heart surgery at 3 months of age, I was still a relatively new Christian and learned reliance on God in a big way through that whole terrifying ordeal. To witnessing both of my in-laws receive devastating cancer diagnoses a year apart, as faithful, strong, seasoned Christians watching them help me learn dependence on Christ, because those trials and tribulations have hit them full force and God's faithfulness has been steadfast in their lives. To learning 4 years ago that my sister's husband had a definite expiration date and he wouldn't reach the age of 40 because of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS. This disease has become a major part of my Christian walk because God used it for 3.5 grueling years to show me his truth and promises. He taught me in ways clearer than any other that I, myself, cannot save someone. I have a zeal for the Lord, but I cannot force someone else to believe and accept and repent. My brother-in-law wasted away from a strong physical presence and became completely immobile except for his eye muscles. He had been angry with God for a long time, and the night before he died, I sat next to him. Hold on, I can't see. The night before he died, I sat next to him and looked at his wrists and his shins and his forearms. There was not an ounce of muscle left there, and he was a shell. But he told me that he knew what Christ had done for him, and he was grateful for it. We were there during his last few agonizing hours, and when he took his last breath, I thank God that he had released Michael from physical pain, but also that he had softened his heart and accepted Christ. Watching death that closely and for that many years so evidently brings a person back to the thought that if there is no God, if there is no Savior, then there is no hope. But I know that there is hope and a life everlasting, and that this life is only a temporary one. God has used all of my past experiences to weave together a beautiful understanding of who he is. And on this day where we celebrate resurrection after a grueling, agonizing, painful death that Christ endured to take on the sins of the world, of your sins and mine, I know these things. God loves a sinner like me. His word is not void. Everything points to him. He is risen, and we do not have to fear death. My good friend and Christian sister told me once that we are not born to die, but we are born to live. Our bodies fight against aging and against illness and against the last breaths that we take. That is proof for me that God intended us to live forever in glory with him. In the garden, we were rebellious children of Adam, dead in our sin, but we are now children of God and alive in Christ. He is risen, and we do not have to fear death. Thank you.